Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, that twice-a-week type. Yes, that. We do it two times a week, and it's a podcast for people who do needlework.
You know, I have such respect because I don't think you're going to filter that out. You're not going to edit that, are you?
No, not a chance. No, I'm staying right there.
I think of people like Penn Jillette and like Penn Sunday School and Mark Maron, and I think of the reason why they have a million downloads a week, and I think it's because they don't do that.
Stumble and fumble and bumble like an idiot, you mean?
No, because they edit things.
Oh, well, I edit some things, but I'm not editing that.
Mostly the foul language from you. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
That was a joke, in case anyone didn't get that. I don't think I've ever heard foul language from Gary, ever.
Happens occasionally.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think I've ever heard it.
Yeah, it's a rarity, I'll say, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, that's staying right there at the beginning. I thought that was an excellent opening. Professional.
Professional.
That's right. Speaking of all that, my favorite cross-stitch chart of the week is just a text thing. Well, it's a text thing. It looks like a needle that's dripping blood. And the copy is stupid people make me stabby. I was cheering.
I love that.
Yep.
So can we, is that an inappropriate thing to stitch and then hang in your workplace?
No. Since my workplace is our home, no.
All right. What if it's not your home?
Oh, yeah, I think...
You're home with your wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think that's okay because you assume the stupid people are the other people, not your wife.
Right.
So that's cool.
Well, I can assure you that in this couple, I'm the idiot. So, yeah, no, but that's a classic. Yeah. You should have that right in your office there, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of thinking. Because there was, I forget what company it was there that had a lot of sort of blue humor type sayings that I was threatening to stitch and hang at my workplace for quite some time. Because at the time my office was in the factory part of it. So you really could get away with that sort of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've moved into the marketing building where it's,
ew,
you know, fancy people. So you really can't do that, but stupid people make me stabby really isn't blue humor. It's just a little aggressive.
Right.
It's like that would be considered a microaggression.
Yeah. And if it bothers you, then that suggests you consider yourself stupid. So, you know, whatever.
So essentially it self-selects people into your office.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You come in here, that bugs you, then you're stupid. You know, what can I help? You know, you just shrug your shoulders and look at them. Hey, what do you want?
Okay. What if you, so you put the text there, but you soften it by stitching like beautiful flowers and things around it?
Nah, keep the edge.
See, because I think that way it makes it more confusing.
Okay. Right? That'll stop you to think. Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
Right. Because this message, which is, you know, kind of a little, like I said, like a microaggression in the parlance of the day. But then it's got this beautiful, floral, very gentle thing. And then someone would walk in and they don't really quite know what to make of it.
Yes. Okay.
It
see?
Kind of keeps on edge.
Yeah. 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 Well, there you have it. I mean, that's my new favorite. Stupid people make me stabby. Mm-hmm. I want to meet the mind that came up with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll get you, somebody asked for in the thread, I think it was in Stitch Mania, and somebody asked for the designer, and nobody had posted yet when I looked, but, as soon as I find out, I'll let you know, cause it's a quick stitch, cause it's just,
yeah.
Looks like it's just backstitch text and, yeah. So you can do that in a hurry and it was mounted in a hoop, so you don't even have to frame it or anything. Just hang that sucker up, and people come in. Yeah, people come in. You say, I don't know if it bugs you. What can I tell you?
Yeah, are you stupid? Do you feel like you're at risk?
Yeah. So have some fun.
If you look on Instagram, there's a lot of. It almost feels like there's things that fall into two categories. One are things like that, which are just sayings. And there's a lot of not political things, but sort of very contemporary sayings of the moment, things that are pertinent, especially towards women's issues and things like that. And maybe it's just skewed towards what my feed is, and that's very possible. It's that or... it's embroidery that is so intimidatingly good that I feel like I should just throw my needle down. So one of the things that has been coming up is people embroidering animals that are so photorealistic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen these? So, so somebody will send in, if I'm a, I don't even know what the word is, but I do things on commission. So someone will send me a photo of their dog, and it's a little Yorkshire Terrier. And if you can imagine like a sort of face on view, and I send on in a photo of this Yorkie to a person, then they will stitch it, and then the person will post a picture of half of the photo and half of the stitch thing, and you can't even tell the difference.
Yeah.
It's that spot on.
Yep. Yep.
It is frighteningly good.
Yep. Yeah, we have a...
It's all just long and short stitch, and that's really all it is. And it is just really amazing. And what I can't figure out, it takes skill to get the colors right and all of those things, but to get all of the, to get the transfer right too.
Yeah.
That's the part I think that's difficult. You know, how do you get the transfer of the photo to get the eyes in exactly the right position, to get all of the hair in exactly the right position? That I would like to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people are amazing. They are. Well, a lot of people are amazing. I shouldn't say some. A lot of people are amazing with needle and thread. Well, we have a small, 4x8 piece that we got at an art fair in Scottsdale, Arizona, many years ago, 8 years ago, something like that. That is, it's just a grassy field with flowers, and it was a booth full of these things. And you walk in, and you think, oh, these are beautiful photographs, just gorgeous photographs. Wow. How, you know, what talent with a camera. And then you explore it a little bit more and you realize that these are all stitched.
Oh my goodness.
With, or Asian, I don't know, Japanese, Chinese, I don't know. But some Asian, a couple of women who, stitched these. And you can't tell. And you pick them up. I mean, you literally have to pick them up and turn them and catch the light just so to tell that there's thread there. And it was one of those where Marga and I just stood there and we just bought one. this is so good. Yeah. This is so good. We got to have it. And it's still one that we marvel at. But yeah, some of these people, what they can do with some thread and some cloth just blows me away. It really does.
I don't know. Like, I can understand sort of interpretive embroidery, so if you're doing a flower or an animal or something like that, like the Trish Burr birds are a good example of that.
Yeah.
And that's interpretive, and it can be realistic and even photorealistic, but to literally take a photo and it looks like you've just slap the photo on cloth and stitched it. I really want to know what the technique is to to do the transfer to get it exactly right, like hair by hair.
Yeah.
I would love to know what, you know, what goes into making that happen.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because, yeah, like a Trish Burr bird. I mean, those are incredibly realistic, but she's not using a photo of a bird.
You know. Well, she may be as a starting place.
But not on the camera, or not on the cloth. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. No, I know. That's what's so cool about this hobby is just when you think you've seen about everything, you find someone else that's even more amazing. And
everybody's got a different eye.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and everybody brings a different interpretation of something. That's art. That's the fun thing about art.
Yep.
I think that's why I like this a little bit better than our old hobby of reef keeping, because that's just, that was science, right? And it's animal husbandry and doing that. This, everyone interprets it according to their own sort of their own eye, right? And their eye is determined by how they see things, how their brain interprets things, but it's also their experience in life, their mood, how their mood is informed by their past experience. So many different things. What things please them? What things make them happy?
Yep.
You know what? How? What their training is? All of those things. And everyone has a different idea of what something should be.
Yeah.
So you never. I mean, you give someone like the San Francisco School of Design has a challenge going on now, and I'm really excited to see what the results of that. And they've done challenges before, and it's not uncommon to see that. But everyone doing the same sort of challenge, you never know what you're going to get because everyone has a different way of thinking about things. So, yep. You know, I really like that idea because people will make you think differently than you ever thought before about something.
Yeah, and that, I think that's really kind of one of the neatest aspects is you think you have it knocked, and then you see someone else, you go, whoa, oh, how could I, you know, I would never have thought that. And you just kind of sit there in awe of them. Yes, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then on top of that, there's the technical aspect of it, of, you know, where you
could be exactly,
technical expertise. So you're mastering the technical skill that it takes to execute these things, but then you're also admiring their ability to interpret a design in a way that's not literal.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, yeah. It's fluid. That's what's so much fun. It's fluid.
Yeah.
Every week to week, day to day, hour to hour, there's always some nuance that makes this different from that. And, it's fun. It really is.
It's the reason you can go to a museum and see the same painting over and over again and enjoy it every single time differently, because every time you see the painting, you're seeing it differently because your eyes and your brain are different every time. The painting's the same.
Right.
But the way you process it is different.
Yep.
So the way you process how you're going to go about a piece is going to be different.
And, you know, and people who call this a craft, you know, what you just described, that's art. That's not craft. That's art.
Yeah. If you're following a proscribed pattern, then, you know, one could argue that it gets into craft. But if you're going to build something new or reinterpret a piece, then it starts becoming, you know, into the art realm, and anyone can interpret any piece anyway.
Right.
So just because there's a pattern for something doesn't mean you have to follow it. You know, that, I mean, my goodness, I'm sitting here with a piece of cloth that looks like denim and stitching with metallic fibers and threads that don't make any sense to do a sampler that's from the 1800s. So, you know, there's no rules.
Right. Exactly that. Yes. Yep. I got to tell my story. So if I sound a little different, it's cause I'm not in my normal recording position. If I sound echoey, I'm in an office in a home in St. Louis because we, for 2 weeks now, we're renting a house across the street from our daughter, son-in-law, and two grandsons. And because Mark and I can work anywhere, so we just hauled our computers and monitors and everything, and we're just working. So we rented this house. And so part of what comes in the trip is my bike, of course, and all the gear that goes with that, and then all my stitching gear. So the magnifier light stand and the stand for my scroll frame, they get all broken down, and they come with the scroll frame and, you know, stitching supplies so that I can finish up Anasazi song, No, It's Not Done Yet, and then you get going on Sarah Brazier, the sampler. So all of that comes along with clothes and working equipment and paperwork and all those things. And so we get to the house, and of course we get things moved in, and our little three-year-old, you know, we have a three-year-old and a one-year-old grandsons. So Cooper, the three-year-old, comes over because he has to come over and see where Grandma and Grandpa are staying. And so there on the floor are all the pieces to the two stands. And so, but first we have to put the seat on my bike. Well, that requires a torque wrench because my bike's carbon fiber frame. So you have to be very careful how you tighten bolts because you'll snap the carbon. So you have to have a torque wrench. So then Cooper wants to know all about the torque wrench and then listen to it click when it's tight enough. And he puts the socket on and takes it off, you know, that whole thing. And then what are all these pieces of wood over here? Well, those are stands. So he helps me put those together. I start the, you know, each knob, get it threaded on. He tightens it down. And so we get them all put together. Now, every time he comes over, whoever he's with, mom, dad, whatever, drags them over, I helped put those together. So yeah, it was pretty neat. So the stands got put together with the help of Cooper, but no stitching has been done in 3 days. But
okay, so all right, I have a challenge for you.
Oh great. Just what I need.
You hate when I give you challenges, but it's really not a challenge for you. Here's what I would love to see happen, and I have no idea how this is going to work because I don't have grandchildren. So I've talked before about how I learned how to stitch. My very first things were just about Cooper's age. What my grandmother did was take muslin or whatever, you know, garbage fabric was around and an embroidery hoop, and she would trace simple shapes like a bunny or a rubber duck out of with a Sharpie on the fabric and just have me do a running stitch around with yarn or something, you know, big, giant that little tiny fingers could hold. What if you did that? Because he's seen you. But here's the thing, because it's not a grandma doing it either.
Right.
So he's seen you put a bike together. He's seen you put, a stand together. Now, if he sees you doing the stitching, which is, you know, really super fancy, and then you give him something to do, even if he never picks it up, you know, while you're not there, this is now locked in his conscience.
Right.
That this is something that men do. So you're burying something in him that tells him that this is something that men that he respects and admires do.
Okay. I have to think about that. Yep. Well, I've got 2 weeks to do it, so I didn't bring any scrap, anything. So, I'm sure I can find something.
Hobby Lobby or Michael's, and it's, you know, a 50 cent hoop and a little bit of fabric, and, you know, you can draw, a train or, you know, a car or whatever it is that you think he'd like to stitch, and then while you're stitching, hey, why don't you come sit over here and I'll show you how to do it, and show him how to do like an open running stitch, and you can do it together.
Okay, I didn't think about that. All right, that'd be fun. There's plenty of needlework stores in St. Louis, so
yeah, and you know, big fat tapestry needle, and suddenly that thing that is the thing that boys aren't supposed to do,
right.
That anymore. The stigma is gone, at least for a little while.
Yeah. Okay, good idea. Oh, that was a great band too. Big Fat Tapestry Needle. Man, those guys were really good. Yeah. Yeah. I have both their albums. Yeah.
Such a dork.
Thank you. So, okay, we're here in what, 3 weeks? We're going to be at Sassy Jack's. Very excited. Nicola Parkman going to be there doing three two-day classes, and we're going to be there for the first 2 days to do podcasts, videos, whatever, and see Nicola and Kim and see people. They're all sold out. See people stitching. See the new sampler that was commissioned for this event. Ooh, probably do a video tour of the sampler with Nicola. So, yeah, looking forward to that. So, limited number of people can be at Sassy Jack's for this thing, but we'll try to bring to you as much of what's going on there as we possibly can.
Yeah.
And we're both going to be there. And there's threat by Christine that you may get to see our spouses.
Yes.
But I have to talk to Marga.
Yeah, that's nice that you brought that up before we've actually approached said spouses and asked whether or not they would be amenable to that.
Well, mine doesn't listen, so no threat of that.
No, mine doesn't either.
So, yeah. Okay. There we go. See, so it's quite safe.
Right. So, yeah. Well, and to be honest, I don't know that many people have even seen our faces either, like our faces.
Right. So we'll show our faces.
You'll actually get to meet us as like human beings with bodies and not just voices.
Yes.
That's weird.
Yep. So that's coming up. Excited about that.
Yeah.
Road trip. Yeah. Road trip. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, you sucked me in.
Fabulous.
Royal School of Needlework, Book of Embroidery, you sucked me in.
How awesome is that book?
Oh, I'm telling you what. Okay, I'm just gonna tell this story. Okay, so we talked last week about putting the tape on the edges so you could basically create a slate frame out of your scroll frame.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and Royal School Needlework Book of Embroidery, the new book, shows how to do that. Okay, mm-hmm. So you were gonna send me pictures. You forgot.
In my defense, I sent them, but the wireless coverage in my neighborhood is terrible.
Oh, okay. So they're in the ether somewhere.
Yes.
Threatening to show up at any moment.
Yes.
Okay. I'll buy that. So I thought, well, okay, what am I doing? How much is this book? So I looked and ordered it immediately. And then, but I ordered it such that from Amazon that it was going to arrive while we were in St. Louis or while we're in St. Louis. So can't have that sitting at home when I'm in St. Louis for 2 weeks. So I had it sent to our daughter's house and to our grandson. And then I texted her and said, when that comes for Connor, he doesn't care about it. I do. So... So we got there, and it was laying on the shelf by the entryway when we got to their house. And so I just took it back to the house where we're staying and opened it up and was looking at it. And then over the weekend, Marga says, I don't really care, but how much was that book? And I said...
It looks very expensive, doesn't it?
Yeah, I said, it was $27. She said, what?
It looks like an $80 book.
Yeah, exactly. Least. That's what she thought. She thought I was going to tell her $80 or $100. She says, that's all for that book? I said, yeah, that's why I bought it. Well, in addition to what's in it. But I said, yeah, you can't get that kind of information in one book for $27 anywhere.
And so that book is an amalgam of all the other books that they've published on each of the different styles. So they have a blackwork book, they have a stumpwork book, a Jacobean cruelwork book. Each of those individual books were probably, I have a few of them. I think I have a stumpwork book and one more. And I probably paid at least $15 or $18 for each of those. And I don't have all of them, but I have a couple. So to pay the $27 for that one book, it was a no-brainer. Everyone should own this book. It
Yes.
is a tremendous resource.
Oh, and tremendous, underscored twice. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it really is. And not just, even if you're not interested in any of the styles of needlework that are in there, because there's needlepoint, there's the canvas work that they call it, just the basics of how to lace a slate frame, how to set up a scroll frame, what different needles are useful for different applications, just, you know, how to frame up a piece, things like that, just basics. All
yep.
of those things are in there as well. So it's a really good book. It's one of my favorite new purchases.
Yeah, with index, 400 pages. So
yeah, for $27.
For $27, and you know, beautiful color photos, clear crystal, clear stitching. You know, each section talks about the history of that technique, and then shows some examples, and then shows some stitches, and it just goes on and on. And actually, I haven't done any stitching since we got here. But the 3 or 4 hours that I've had an opportunity to stitch have been spent reading that book.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, everybody should get it. It really is one of those books you ought to have. Fantastic.
Well, one of the things I like about it as well is that they'll show, because a lot of the stitch styles that the RSN teaches are historic styles, right? They have been around for forever. So they'll show pieces that are from the era that the stitch style originated. So they'll show a blackwork piece that was, you know, blackwork was used on garments quite a bit. So they'll show a picture of a shirt that someone wore. But then they'll show blackwork used in a contemporary way. So what I really like about it is they'll show the historic sort of utilization of the stitch or of the style, but then they'll show a contemporary interpretation of that style, and they'll show student pieces using that style as well. So you can see sort of all the whole transition, a modern interpretation of the style, the origination of the style and how it started, and then student pieces that were done as part of the training process of the RSN. So, yep. And all of those things together, it makes it really accessible, and it gives you sort of a really good feeling of the roots of each of these different styles of needlework.
Yes.
So I love it.
Oh, it's a tremendous book, and I'm in the middle right now of reading about blackwork, because it's always intrigued me. And right here in this book, the history, the techniques, everything right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah. That's Catherine of Aragon that started that.
Yes. So, yeah, really. Now, last week I put a link, and I'll just repeat the link to the Amazon, to buy it at Amazon. But, yeah, $27, and if you have Prime, of course, free shipping. And, I mean, you just can't get 400 pages of needlework expertise for less than that. There's just no way. So, really tremendous book. Really glad I bought it. You sucked me in, and it was worth every penny.
It is one of my favorite recommendations, and I absolutely love it.
Yep. And speaking of black work, now how's this? This is professional transition right here. Professional transition. Okay. Speaking of black work, we have posted today. Now, I'm doing this without permission. I asked for permission, but haven't received it yet. So
yes.
Victoria Becker posted on Facebook that she had finished Gay Ann Rogers' Queen Elizabeth I, that design.
Mm-hmm.
And
Wait,
she put up some pictures, and I borrowed a picture, and I'm hoping we're recording on Monday, so I'm hoping by Wednesday I'll have permission to use her picture. But so she posted Queen Elizabeth I, made a couple of changes. The cap, I didn't understand the hair on the back of the cap, so I didn't put it in. The pearls, I did not couch them, and I placed a couple of strands differently so it would drape more realistically. And then the sleeves, I just love black work, so I covered the sleeves in black work.
Right, which actually is not that historically inaccurate because...
So I've learned from the book of embroidery. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Catherine of Aragon was the stepmother of Elizabeth I. Elizabeth I was the daughter of Anne Boleyn, both of them. So Catherine of Aragon was the first wife of Henry VIII. And Elizabeth I was the daughter of Anne Boleyn. So they're all related. And so Elizabethan style was a little bit later. So the black work would have been the style of a little earlier. So I'm going to guess, and my husband will probably correct me on this if he actually listens, which thankfully he doesn't. So he's a Shakespeare expert. So he knows this period of time like intimately well. So the earlier period of time would have been the blackwork era. So would have been Catherine of Aragon, would have been the late 1500s. The Elizabethan time would have actually been more of Jacobean cruel work. So, but blackwork would have still existed, right? So, because everything blends together.
Yes.
So that's not historically inaccurate at all.
Yes, it's gorgeous. And I learned from the Royal School of Needlework Book of Embroidery that that blackwork comes from Moorish people.
Well, because Catherine of Aragon was from Spain, and of course Spain had a tremendous Moorish influence because of the proximity to Africa.
So there we have it. Mm-hmm. So this thing, that this project, Queen Elizabeth I, the Victoria Stitched, well, number one, it's a Gay Ann Rogers, so it's stunning to begin with. But, wow. I mean, she literally brought this thing to life. It is just gorgeous.
It is. It is.
Jewels. Jewels on top of jewels and beads and the lace stitching and the hair is amazing. And I just, I have to say, when that thing showed up on my screen, I just kind of stopped and I'm sure my jaw was dropping. But, boy, she did a whale of a job. It's just gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
It is. And yeah, it's worth keeping in mind that there is the final queen in the Gay Ann Rogers series that's coming out in
August.
Probably the next, I think August 8th, but don't quote me on that. First couple of weeks of August.
Yep, and Gay Ann Rogers will be back in 2 weeks with us to talk about that her last queen, yes. So we'll have her again. A short turnaround repeat for a guest, but we got to learn about this thing.
It is, but you know what? This is a good queen, though, so I'm really excited about it.
Yep. So that's coming up. But a picture. So if you listen on a podcast app, go to our website, wetalkfiber.com, to see a picture of Victoria Becker's Queen Elizabeth I, assuming Victoria is kind enough to give me permission to use the photo.
Yes.
I asked her very nicely, please and thank you and everything. So let's hope.
Well, yeah.
I'm sure she won't mind us bragging about her. I hope not.
I hope not too.
And then this popped up. Now this, to me, this is one of the coolest things in needlework, because I've seen this suggested before, but one of the coolest things in needlework, because it is probably the only time that we will talk about ammunition boxes and stitching.
I know. I saw your note about this, and I'm so excited.
Yes. Now, this has been, you know, other people have mentioned it, but this just popped up. Rachel Joy Leaf on, I think it was Stitch Mania, not sure, listed the bullet box, the ammo box that she bought for storing Krynek spools. And like I said, this has been suggested before, but It's a 7mm Winchester short mag ammo box. I love it. Okay, this is needlework, but we're gonna go to the gun store and buy a 7mm Winchester short mag ammo box flip top. You can order it. I'll put a link so you can order it.
So I'm from New York, which is a very blue state. I know nothing about ammunition, and we don't live in a place where hunting is a thing, and deer walk within 2 feet of my bedroom window on a regular basis. So, do you have to buy the box? I would think that the box would kind of come free with the ammo.
Well, but if you load your own ammo, not an uncommon thing.
If you make your own shotgun shells.
Yes, or bullets, either one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is Christine's not area of expertise.
Yeah. It's not uncommon. People who shoot a lot, target or otherwise, hunting, it's not uncommon for them to make their own shotgun shells or make their own bullets. And have their own little quirks about how they like it, how much gunpowder goes in, you know, those things. Oh, yeah, that's very common.
That makes a ton of sense. And then, right, because when I first saw your note about it, I have several friends who are either ex-military or just, you know, like shooting skeet or things like that. And my first thought was, oh, great, they must have, you know, a ton of ammo boxes hanging around that I can just swipe from them. But now I'm thinking about it, and, you know, the tiny, you know, little bit of information I know about ammo, I was thinking about it. Yeah, a shotgun shell is about the size of a Krynex spool. So, yeah, a regular bullet, like a .22, wouldn't do it. You would need a shotgun shell box.
Right.
But do they come in boxes? Like, I really am like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, sure, of course. If you go buy a bunch of Winchester bullets or shotgun shells...
They don't come in a bag, do they?
No. They're in a nice, neat cardboard box, yeah.
Yeah, a bag of, like...
That's... No.
Explosives dangling around is probably not a good idea.
But I would venture that serious target shooters probably load all their own ammunition. Because that way they know that every single bullet is, you know, if something goes wrong and it's the bullet's fault, then it's their fault, not some machine in some factory.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. But,
and see if somebody has like spare ones.
Yeah. You never know. But I mean, $4. So this thing is $4.
Yeah, even so.
Yeah. So here's my challenge to all the Stitchers. Take a bunch, like a fistful of Krynex thread spools, and go to a gun and ammo store. Huh? Can you see that?
You know what, though? I think it would totally work. Because I think if you walked in with a bunch of thread as a woman, so this is the reverse equivalent of walking into, but no, it's actually the same, of walking into Home Depot in a skirt.
Right.
Which is what I always used to do. But then I actually knew what I was talking about. This is like walking into the tire store as a woman.
Yep.
This is what they call playing the girl card.
Yep.
Which I rarely do. But I think I might do it in this case just for entertainment purposes.
Oh, that is pure entertainment. It's pure entertainment. You walk in with a bag of Krynex spools. And say, I need a box to put these in.
Yeah, yeah. So my friend who shoots skeet said that the boxes that you have for shotgun shells would fit my threads that I stitch, needlepoint with perfectly. So do you have something that you could give me that these would fit in perfectly? And if you wear like a sundress.
There you go.
And honestly, I'm not even talking about a revealing sundress. It's not about that at all. It's just about being a girl.
Yep. Sandals, flowery yellowed sundress. Yeah, the whole bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's being the opposite of being. So I'm talking about being the opposite of me pulling up on my motorcycle and asking the question, because that would be different.
Yep.
I right.
And you'd have a real nice purse with you, and yeah, the whole bit. Yep.
Yeah.
And then you
Even
walk,
though
yeah, and
it's
in this case,
probably.
you walk in and say, I need an ammo box for 7mm Winchester short magnums. Got any?
But you have to write it down on a piece of paper.
And then pull out your threads. Well, I'm going to put these in there. I want to make
Right.
sure they'll fit.
You have to have a bag of them.
Right. Oh yeah, you got to have a bag. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it almost begs you having like a piece of something you've stitched, like very, very tasty, right? Like six cats standing, sitting on a fence with their tails dangling down, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like I want this is the kind of thing, and I hang them in my bathroom and I stitch them. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I could actually do it.
I think it's great weekend fun. That's a great Saturday morning. Three or four women, you go out for breakfast and you go to an ammo store. I think that's a great Saturday
Yeah.
morning right
Okay,
there.
that's the key. It's doing it as a group.
Yep.
I don't know if
Because you'll scare them. Four women walking into a gun store. Right? Right? They'll scare
scare them.
them. Yeah, I think you would.
Four women walking into a gun
Bop,
store.
bop, bop, bop. Yeah. You'll get a lot of bop, bop. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guarantee it. Yeah.
All right, all right. That is my challenge. I am
Yep.
going to see if I can scare a man in a gun store.
Yeah. Oh, you walk in, sundress, purse, bag full of krynek thread, and ask for a 7mm Magnum box. And then, because you want to put those in there, the guy will be a mess.
If I can throw them off their game.
Yeah,
That's
he'll be a
my
mess for a week. I guarantee it. Yeah.
thing. Because the truth of it is, I could show up on a motorcycle
I know. Think about you.
with
Yeah, think about
right.
you. Sundress on a motorcycle to an ammo store.
No, I can't. No, all those things don't fit together, right? Because I could do it one way or the other. I could do motorcycle and tattoos and everything, and then you wouldn't bat an eye, and I would be just one other customer. Or I could show up in a pretty flowery dress, and I would be so incongruous to the environment that you would not have any idea what was going on.
Mess them up for a week, guaranteed.
I don't know.
It's worth it.
I think the experience might be worth it to
Yeah.
see
Oh,
what
yeah.
happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it.
I'm game. I'll do it.
Do it. Now, okay. Now let's take the other side. If I walk in and ask for the same thing and break out a bag of krynek thread, yeah.
Well, either way, they're going to make you pay for it.
Right. I'll just order online.
Right. The only question is, are they going to give me like whatever they have like in the back, hanging around for free? That's really the only game. The game here is just what exactly is going to happen, because
Mess them up for a week. Absolutely a wreck.
or nothing, or nothing. It could be nothing could happen at all. I think it depends on where you live too. I think if you live in Texas, it would go a totally different way.
Yeah, likely.
I don't think
Okay.
I don't think it'd bat an eye.
I don't know. I don't know. That's the challenge. Let's hear from people. Head to ammo stores with your Krynek bag. Let's hear from people.
All right, that's the maybe we need a Fiber Talk Facebook poll. I
Yep.
walked into an ammo store with a Krynek, with a bag of Krynek, and this was the result.
Yep. Gotta hear the stories. Yep. So there we have it right there. I think it'd be fantastic. Yep.
I hope this doesn't end badly.
No. No. Good entertainment all the way around. Excellent stuff. Yep. 7mm Winchester short mag flip top ammo box.
Mm-hmm. That's the only kind.
50 round. Was it government 50 round plastic? Well, I mean, that's one that was suggested. I'm sure that many people make a box that will hold that particular bullet. But this one is MTM is the manufacturer, MidwayUSA.com. But I'm sure there's a bunch of people. And I'm sure, like any hobby, you can get a plastic box for $4, or you can get a hand-rubbed mahogany box for $400 to hold the same right. bullets. You know that.
Okay. Okay. So again, dumb non-gun person question. If you knew someone in the military, I mean, really, this is a dumb question. They don't use shotguns, do they?
I don't think so.
So it wouldn't be like a military surplus kind of thing.
Oh, no, I wouldn't go there. No, no. Guns and ammo. Firing range.
They wouldn't have the kind of bullets that would be that size and shape.
Yeah, I don't know my bullets.
See, this is why I would be convincing in the sundress, because I really don't know the answer to these questions.
Guns and ammo store. Wherever they sell guns, have a shooting range. Guns and ammo store, that's where you walk in. Not Army surplus, no.
All right.
No. Yep. I got to hear stories. People got to do it. I got to hear stories.
I'll do it.
Okay, counting on you.
All right.
Counting on you. All right, so Rachel Joy Leaf has provided us with the opportunity for good entertainment. And a solution to storing Krynek thread.
Yes, actually, that's really the goal
right.
here.
Yeah, let's not forget, there's a plus on the other end of this thing in that we don't have Krynek thread just piled in a box somewhere.
No, because I'm sitting here actually next to a pile of about 12 spools of it, and there's really no good way to store yep. them.
Thought of you immediately when I saw this. Oh, Christine needs to have a box for these.
I do.
Yep, for the thread, yep. So there we have it. There's our weekend entertainment. Right there. Thank you.
Christine's Adventures in the Gun Store.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
Yep. That makes perfect sense on Fiber Talk.
That's right. Okay. That's going to be it right there. Thank you, Rachel Joy Leaf. We appreciate it. Sunday, Trisha Rothoff of Three Oil. Oh, man. I need a new job. Trisha Rothoff, Three Owl Threads. Probably the only person that I've ever heard from, or we've ever heard from, who built a business purely on the suggestion of things from friends.
Yes.
Yes. Friends suggest things, she does them, builds them into her business, and she's got something going. So, fun chat with her. And if you're doing Sarah Brazier, people are cooking right along on that thing, people other than me. Are cooking right along, and the Sarah Brazier stitch along. We're up to 744 or 5 members now.
That is insane.
Yes. And oh, that's right. Somebody asked how many people were stitching in hand. 10 people so far have said they're stitching Sarah Brazier in hand. Now that's a 30 at 40 count. That's a 30 by 30 inch piece of linen, and 10 people are doing it in hand because that's the way they do them. I'm impressed.
I'll tell you, I'm on a scroll frame, and I am 5 minutes and about, 5 minutes from throwing the thing across the room before I'm ready to throw it into a hoop.
Okay.
Because I can't get the tension that I want, and I think it's simply because I don't have a scroll frame wide enough.
Oh, yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I may end up moving the whole thing. That said, I have learned everything there. Well, maybe not everything, but I have learned very many things there is to know about how to tweak your scroll frame to get the best tension you can. And I can tell you lots and lots of ways to get more tension out of your scroll frame, but I don't know if it's going to be enough.
Okay. Well, more infrastructure. Maybe you may have to just purchase more infrastructure.
I have all the hoops.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're just going to go right to hoop, huh?
Well, you know, honestly, what I may do, which is, it sounds ridiculous, but just as an this whole piece is one giant experiment for me. It's my way of testing everything and finding all the ways to do things wrong so that I can spare. Right. That was the segment that we were going to do last week, wasn't it?
Right.
So we'll save it for next time. But all the ways to go, nope, that didn't work. So what I may do before I take it out of the scroll frame, because it's kind of it's a job to put it in the frame, is just to loosen the tension, because the piece is 5,000 feet long. I can just loosen the tension out of it and put it in a hoop while it's still in the frame and see how it stitches on a hoop before I take it off the frame. And if it works out well, then I'll just take it off the frame. Does that make sense?
Oh, I followed you. I followed you.
Yeah. It's going to look ridiculous.
I followed you, and I'll pay big money to watch this happen. But
no, before I unstitch it, because right now it's stitched on four sides into the frame. So before I unstitch it, I want to see how I feel about it being in a hoop, because I don't want it to distort, and I don't want all of the things that we always talk about, you know, the sort of the cons of using an embroidery hoop. I kind of want to try it first before I commit to it. So I can just loosen it out of the frame without unstitching it.
Yes.
And try it out. And if I like it, then I might just put it in. And the other benefit is it's much more portable.
Yes. Ton of people stitching in a hoop, though. Ton of people in the stitch along using a hoop.
Yeah. So I might actually do that.
It's not like you're breaking new ground here.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yep.
So we'll see.
Okay. And so next week we're going to have that report. All the things to not do, how you did well, not at all. Or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
I'm not afraid to fail. I just fail quickly.
Yes. Get it over with. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's it now. For sure. That's it. We're done.
Yes.
Take Tricia care. Tricia Rothoff Sunday. We'll be back Wednesday with more of this, whatever it is. Thanks for listening.
Take care.